Hello, this is Dan Young, live for the Noyo Radio Project, KNYO, and Common Ground Media. All right, I'm here with Mark Weiner at Emergency Communities in the Lower Ninth Ward on St. Claude, and this is their last day of being open, giving services to the general public, and Mark Weiner's the executive director here, and Mark, can you explain your project, Emergency Communities, and the work that it did?
Yeah, basically what we've been doing since we got down here 2 months after the storm is opening community centers that serve the public, whatever their needs happen to be in that particular area, which generally has included 3 meals every day, 3 hot meals. We have computer lab, phone bank. We've done after-school programs, summer camps, just whatever the needs are in the community that we can provide at the center itself. And since we've opened, we've slowly been expanding to do more and more off-site work, which includes home gutting, and now is moved on to rebuilding work. So most of our volunteer work is actually done outside of our centers at the rebuilding projects.
So the center here is closing today, but are the rebuilding projects going on?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to keep the rebuilding projects going. And basically what we're doing is we're closing so that we can assist in starting up 2 new organizations right on in this general area, basically within 1 block of here. We're going to help start a group called Lower9.org, which is going to take over all of our rebuilding projects, and another group called the Lower Ninth Ward Village, which is going to be a permanent community center just 2 blocks from here. And it's a nice building. It's already been purchased, and hopefully we'll get a permanent community center down here before we have to leave.
Great. So there's a big mission statement painted on the wall here for Emergency Communities, and included in the mission statement it says that the organization exists to be, quote, a new kind of grassroots on-the-ground effort that seeks to fill the gaps left by traditional relief models. How successful would you say that Emergency Communities was at accomplishing this?
I think we've been extremely successful, and the model that we've created here has been well-received both by the public that we serve and the donors that support us. So I think we've done a pretty good job of executing our mission in a cost-effective way that also brings the type of services people really need down here in one of the more devastated areas from Katrina.
The mission statement also says that the organization exists to address the, quote, holistic and intangible needs of the community, end quote. How do you identify and serve these needs, and how's that gone?
Basically, what that means is that there are no community spaces really left following the destruction of Katrina, and that's one of the main things that's missing. Now, there are some churches that are back, which is great, and a couple other, you know, playgrounds that are around, but no real community spaces for people, which can leave people feeling, excuse me, feeling alone and just ignored by everybody. So one of the things these community spaces do that we create is create a place for people to come together and feel like they're not alone and they have a community behind them.
In accomplishing this, what were the biggest challenges you faced?
Probably the biggest challenges all came from working through the bureaucracies, working with the government, working with other nonprofits, basically just, you know, navigating the systems that are already in place to try and create a new grassroots nonprofit. But the challenges haven't been all that bad. We've found a lot of support from a lot of people, so it's been pretty good.
Hi, this is Ian Mays. I'm interviewing along with Dan here. So a question I have is, you say that this is a new kind of disaster relief model, and I was wondering if you can describe some what this new model is like.
Basically, as opposed to just providing services, say the Red Cross, you know, going and a disaster will happen and they'll open up a center for shelter that'll last 3 days, maybe a week, and then they try as quickly as possible to get people out of there. but they will continue their support through other methods. What we're doing is creating community seminars that last between 6 months and a year and help get people through that first difficult experience of not having any place to be with their friends and family, as well as get the services that we provide, like the laundromat and the food service and all of that. So also, the other thing that we do, like we're doing right now, is before we leave an area, we try our best to make sure we can start up a permanent community center that will assist in the long-term recovery of the community.
So, can you tell us more about that? You're trying to set up a long-term community center in this area?
Well, we were fortunate enough to meet a gentleman by the name of Ward, who's a Lower Ninth Ward resident, who became very interested in starting a permanent community center, and he went so far as to buy the building. And basically since then, we've been sending volunteers every day and rebuilding this building along with him and under the guidance of him. And hopefully by the time we're shut down here, we'll be opening up a real permanent community center just two blocks away with him.
By shutdown, wait, are the services here ending today, or am I incorrect in that?
Yeah, the services here in the center are, but we're also, like I said, we're going to continue the rebuilding. And it's not just rebuilding. We also do lawn care, which is actually a big need because the government charges you if you don't take care of your lawn, even if you don't live around here. So we've been doing yard work for the elderly and handicapped. We've been doing gutting. These things are all going to continue. But the actual the food service, the laundromat, the computer stuff, that is actually ending today.
And why is it closing?
Like I said, what we're trying to do is get these two other organizations off the ground. And I think we're going to be most effective in doing so if we dedicate our efforts to that as opposed to the day-to-day of keeping this open. And if everything goes correctly, and things never do, but if it did, there won't be a very long gap, maybe hopefully only a month, without the services that we're providing before we can get the permanent community center open.
I guess, what would you identify as your greatest successes in this project?
I think just, having been one of the people that just came down to volunteer for a short time and having done all of this, getting this organization off the ground and having thousands of volunteers come down, all of that's a pretty big success. And it's certainly, nice to deal with residents that are as gracious and good of people as we are lucky enough to have here.
The general theme of these interviews is about how people are working on rebuilding a more just and sustainable New Orleans. Do you have any thoughts about how that can be done?
It's something that we've been striving to do in our own rebuilding work, and I think that there are organizations out there that are specifically looking to do that, and I don't know as much about it as they would know. I know one group, Global Green, is building homes in a green way. The Lower Ninth Ward Center for Sustainable Engagement and Development is another. Sierra Club is down here doing that. And so there's quite a few groups down here that are focused particularly on the green and sustainable method of rebuilding.
All right. Ian, did you have any more questions?
Yeah, I was wondering if you can say a bit about how Emergency Communities got started and how you got involved with it yourself.
I just came down as a volunteer about 3 weeks after the storm. And after volunteering for about a month, I met with some other folks we'd been working together for a month, and we decided that if we formed a nonprofit, we might be able to continue some of the work we had started. And it just sort of expanded from there. We started receiving some donations, and the United Way came in, and they liked what we were doing, and so they started giving us some funds, and since then it's just sort of taken off.
I guess one last question about the founding and stuff. I heard something that before Emergency Communities was officially, I guess, its own nonprofit, it was Waveland Cafe in Mississippi. I was wondering how the relationship was, how it became one to the other.
The Waveland Cafe was started by the Rainbow family that had come down directly directly after the storm, and it was a really incredible experience, and that's where I ended up volunteering. They closed in November, which is when we officially opened our first site. No, 05. Yeah. So this was just 2 months after the storm. And but that's, the, I mean, that was the original idea, and that's what we were working with.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark, for this interview and all your work. And thank you, Ian, and thank you, listeners.